Good afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Our topic today is Alaska women entrepreneurs. Here's a fact for you. Alaska leads the nation in percentage of women-owned employer firms. Many of them employ fewer than five people and are less than 5 years old. But, and it's a big but, is that 89% of Alaska's new job growth between 2005 and 2014 came from firms employing fewer than five people. In fact, according to a 2018 report on women-owned businesses commissioned by American Express, Alaska ranks seventh highest in the nation for employment growth in women-owned business. So something is happening here. And to help us understand it, we have both a business growth expert and Alaska women entrepreneurs here in the studio to talk about their businesses. I'd like to welcome my guests. First, we have Gretchen Fausk, a board member for Launch Alaska and associate director for the University of Alaska Center for Economic Development. Welcome, Gretchen.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Very happy to have you. And we also have Piper Foster Wilder, founder of 60 Hertz Microgrids. I didn't get an immediate picture of that, so it's going to be really fun to talk about that.
Thank you.
And it's maintenance software for emerging markets. So welcome, Piper. So happy to have you.
Thanks, Kathleen. Great to be here.
Right. And then we have a surprise for you. We build the Fire Island Rustic Bakery's Rachel Pennington, a co-owner, on the show. But her business partner, Janice Fleischman, is filling in for her. Welcome, Janice. We're so happy you came. And we're sorry that Rachel has back problems.
Thanks for having me.
We're really, really happy to have you all. And we're going to talk about women entrepreneurs, the climate in Alaska, and then we are going to focus in on a few businesses. I'm looking at Piper and Janice in the second segment, talking to you about some of the things we talked about in the first part about women entrepreneurs, funding, mentorship, things like that, from your experience. And then we're very hopeful that in the third segment, we're going to hear from some other women entrepreneurs who are not in the studio, but we expect them on the phone. And they have updates on their businesses that would be fun to share with our listeners. We expect to hear from Heather Kelly of Heather's Choice. It's a company that makes lightweight, gluten-free backpacking food. And we had Heather on this show in 2016 when she was just starting out. So it'll be fun to catch up with her. And also, I think we'll hear from Laura Oden, one of three co-founders of Pandair Shoes, which they make expandable shoes for those with foot and health challenges. And if we're lucky, we may hear from Catherine Jernstrom from the boardroom. I know it's a busy week for her. I think that the boardroom is changing locations this week, so we hope to hear from her if we're lucky. So that should be in the third segment. So before we get started, I have two reminders for our listeners. We will reference several reports on entrepreneurship and women entrepreneurs on today's show. We've posted several of them on alaskapublic.org. Just look under Hometown Alaska. And we also have a few other resources that aim to meet the needs of entrepreneurs here in the state. Things like where to go for mentorship or where to go for guidance. And we have the website of our entrepreneurs who will be talking today, so please check them all out at alaskapublic.org. And finally, we welcome your questions and comments throughout the show. And you can call us at 550-8433. That's in Anchorage. Or statewide, it's 1-888-353-5752. And we can also take your email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. All right. We've got the phone numbers out there. We've got everybody lined up. I'm going to start with Gretchen. My goal is, I'm very excited about this topic because in the news for the last 3 years, Alaska's been in a recession due to declining oil prices, all kinds of people watching house for sale. You know, are they moving? Are they not moving? Lots of stuff being talked about. And of course, we know we need to diversify our economy. Entrepreneurship is one of the ways we do that. It might be one of the ways we keep young people in the state who need jobs. So I'm going to ask Gretchen, who's with Launch Alaska and also with the Center for Economic Development at the University of Alaska Anchorage. First, paint a quick picture for us of how we are doing as entrepreneurs, men and women together in the state of Alaska.
Yeah, absolutely. When you think about entrepreneurship, often people think about communities like Silicon Valley in California, or even sort of newly exciting areas like Boulder, Colorado. But what some people who aren't directly involved in like the entrepreneurship ecosystem, as we call it, don't know is that we have a thriving, vibrant community here in Alaska. And I think Piper can jump in on this because she is one of the entrepreneurs that launched within the last 5 years. And so she has this immediate, like, real experience of what it means to be an entrepreneur. But I would say that our startup community is growing. People are joining all the time. It's really exciting to see companies solving some big problems in Alaska. And then there's smaller companies who are just doing something really wonderful that add richness and fun to people's lives, things like awesome little bakeries. So
a nod to another guest
exactly,
on the show today.
Yeah. Exactly. And so really, like, I, in my opinion, entrepreneurs are creating our communities. They're the ones adding that vibrancy, that excitement, those really different things. And so it's a great balance and counterpoint to some of our more established industries.
Right. I read, Gretchen gave me things to read, so I have background, and I'm going to dribble out some of my background. I think people might assume, well, gosh, how can you compete with the oil industry or the fishing industry or the tourism industry? Those are huge numbers. But the fact is, what really got me is that job growth is really coming in the startup segment, right? Am I overinterpreting that?
No,
or?
You aren't. So there's this interesting thing called churn that applies to jobs. And so if you have an established company that's been around for years, they're losing and adding jobs, like people in jobs, but they're not adding new jobs, like jobs that have never existed before. So when you have a startup, for example, when Piper started her company, I think you've hired around 5 people now. And so Piper's company came into being and never existed before. Those jobs never existed before in our economy. So those are brand new jobs. And so when you look at the last few years in Alaska, the brand new jobs in our economy are not coming from established corporations or companies. They're coming from people like Piper who are starting completely new companies and adding really new jobs. And actually, those jobs are the ones that have sort of balanced us out a little bit when you're talking about our recession. And I would say it's an interesting thing when you think about startups and existing industry. It's not a competition. In the best scenarios, it can be a complement where our startups can actually add something new that then those corporations can use, and it can be this really exciting thing. So again, to go back to Piper, because she's here in the studio with us, she's doing this energy startup. And so in some ways, what she's doing can then complement existing corporations. And there's a symbiotic relationship where they're learning from her, she's learning from them, they can be clients to each other. It's really exciting to see that happen. And in the best case scenario, we have Alaskans who are creating new technologies or new products that can then go global and reach global markets.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to jump over to Janice just because I, thinking about jobs, when I go into the bakery, I see this hive of busyness and all these young people working there. You are responsible for bringing jobs into our economy.
Yeah, we started almost 10 years ago. And in the last 3 years, you mentioned the recession, we've opened 2 other bakeries. We started with 4 or 5 people. And we now have over...
Sound familiar, Piper?
And we now have over 70 employees.
Right.
So we've definitely...
congratulations.
Thank you.
And that bears out that data that the new jobs are coming from some of this entrepreneurial activity. So that was a point I wanted to make. Let me think. Now I'm going to jump a little to the Kauffman Foundation. I'm looking at Gretchen. Publishes the index annually ranking the 25 smallest and the 25 largest states by population. For 2017, Alaska's rankings among the 25 smallest states. The place where we stood out was startup activity. We didn't do so well in some of the other things they were measuring, but startup activity was very strong. So again, I mean, I'm just looking for different places recognizing this in our state.
Yeah, you know, it's wonderful to sort of have validation from outside places that are looking at Alaska as a sort of bright spot in terms of growth. A lot of people have been working really hard to sort of help create an environment to help entrepreneurs. So that's everything from like the Small Business Development Center, which is one of the sister agencies at the Business Enterprise Institute where I work. They offer free business advising, a number of workshops for people who want to learn how to be accountants.
I put them on our website because I read that they did a lot of this outreach to people.
They're an incredible resource for small businesses. And then things like Launch Alaska, which is Alaska's only business accelerator right now. And along with many other people who have stood up investment funds who are supporting entrepreneurs by investing in their companies, or just people who generally champion them. The Center for Economic Development is doing a series of emerging sectors to sort of help people see what sectors are growing in Alaska. And then also our hope is that entrepreneurs who are excited about doing something new could read those reports and say like, oh, the sector is growing. I see where someone else is working here. I have an idea too. I can tag on to that. And so places like the Center for Economic Development are doing our best to make research available, to provide the workshops that people need to learn how to test ideas, to vet ideas, and sometimes fail. And failing's not a bad thing. It means that you're learning and that you're pivoting and moving on to something else.
I've heard that expression, fail frequently.
Or fail fast.
Fail forward, fail, yeah. Something like that. And it's failure is that weird sort of thing. People are afraid of it, and yet you almost need it to learn.
Yeah, you have to de-shame it a little bit. There's a shame of, like, you get too tangled up in your business and you think that it's defining you, but it's not. It's just a business. And if you can learn and move forward, that's really the best possible scenario.
Right. So I'm going to remind our listeners, our topic today is women entrepreneurs. We've just been getting a little bit of background on Alaska in general and the pretty thriving ecosystem of entrepreneurship that's here. In the studio, we have we have Gretchen Fausk from Launch Alaska and the University of Alaska Center for Economic Development. We have Janice Fleischman, a co-owner and founder of the Fire Island Rustic Bakery, and Piper Foster Wilder, founder of 60 Hertz Microgrids. And we're going to be talking more about those individual businesses as we move on. But right now, I just kind of want to pivot with Gretchen to women entrepreneurs in Alaska.
Yay.
What can you tell us?
Well, you mentioned earlier that Alaska's leading the country in terms of women-owned employer firms, which was just so exciting when we discovered that. Our lead analyst, Rochelle Johnson, actually made that discovery about a month ago, and we were really thrilled to be able to share this with Alaskans.
Yahoo moment.
It was definitely a Yahoo moment. It's really nice, and it kind of validated some trends that we were seeing within the industry anyway. There's been a lot of really exciting female entrepreneurs that are recently growing that have started in the last 5 years, so it's been fun to see that, and then fun to have it validated by research. I learned a lot of things while we were authoring this report. We shared some national statistics with you, which we can dig into in a little bit. But when we paired those with interviews with some women entrepreneurs in Alaska, it really started to paint a picture that Alaska is sometimes very different. And, you know, Alaskans love to feel like we're different, right? We're not like the rest of the country. Sometimes it's not. But I'm happy that in terms of women entrepreneurs, I think that Alaska is a place where, at least in terms of the interviews I did, for the most part, people who are women and happen to be entrepreneurs are experiencing less gender bias than they might be elsewhere. That's not always true, but many times the people I talked to weren't experiencing funding problems or lack of mentors, which are real challenges for women nationally.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if could we just pop over to Janice. Janice, 10 years ago, the climate was different than it is right now. Perhaps, maybe you still looked around and saw lots of other women entrepreneurs.
In the food industry, I did.
That's a comfortable place for creative women to go, you think?
I'm not sure, but I did get a lot of help from Joanne Asher at Saks and Lail with Snow City and got to see Pamela running La Bodega. So I did get a chance to, and I used them as resources and asked them questions. And so I did get mentorship from.
So it was even 10 years ago, we had an ecosystem, if you will, I would say.
Oh, yeah. It's been around a long time. I think there's just been a upswell recently. Uh-huh. It's growing in momentum.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, Piper, you mentioned in this report that Gretchen is referencing that is going to be released soon about women, Alaska women entrepreneurs. You talk a little bit about mentorship and finding actually pretty even-handed mentorship from the community of older men that are often in the industry that you're working in.
That's right. Mentorship is such invaluable juice to the process, and I've been touched by how many grandfatherly types in our investor community here have really taken me under their wing, and a fair number of older brother types,
right,
too.
Big brother,
right.
I remember reading that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think for me, the female entrepreneurs who I can look to as mentors, I, upon reflection, realized those were people with whom I felt more comfortable asking questions I was self-conscious about or thought I should already know the answer to. Mm-hmm. That if I had a vulnerability, I would feel more comfortable really leaning in and asking the second follow-up question, which has
or even
more,
revealing
that. And that says more to do with me than that the men wouldn't have been just as patient and helpful. Mm-hmm. But that's where I felt more comfortable.
So anyway, back to you, Gretchen. What else can we tell our listeners about women entrepreneurs? In Alaska. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to follow on to what Piper said really quickly. I mean, vulnerability is such an interesting thing to be comfortable with. And especially when you're an entrepreneur starting out, being vulnerable and knowing to ask for help and knowing that it's okay to show your struggle is really important. And I know Catherine's joining us later, but when we spoke, she's in this interesting position where she's both an entrepreneur and an investor herself. She shared a little bit about how the difference between female and male entrepreneurs, and had in her experiences found female entrepreneurs to be a little bit more open with being vulnerable and reaching out for help and communicating when they're having problems. So it's interesting to look at, and it's hard to, you know, make sweeping generalizations. Like, that's never fair to anyone, but it is interesting to think about communication styles and what that means for startups and companies. One thing I did want to share a little bit about is some funding challenges people have. So in our report, which is being released on Wednesday.
And we'll add it to our website, and I'm sure you'll have it up on the university's
website.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you. We talk a little bit. So I have some information about venture capitalist funding. 2.2% nationally goes to female founders. Of that, 0.2% goes to women of color. And so that's a pretty staggering fact when you think about like the demographics of our country and the huge imbalance that's there. So in our report, we interviewed Jasmine Smith, who's the founder of the Business Boutique and is also working on her own startup, Baby Vend, which is
Baby Vend.
Baby Vend is very cool.
Like vending machine.
Yeah. I mean, as a new mom, Piper, I'm sure you could like follow
my eyebrows are up.
Yeah, right. So it's a vending machine with the things that parents would need from for their babies, like in the airport, I think.
desperate,
right? Those extra diapers, you thought you had enough, but you don't.
We've forgotten to travel with food before. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so it's this brilliant idea. It came from, she was, I think, in the mall shopping and got stuck without the extra diaper for one of her twins and, you know, had this like, why isn't there a vending machine where I can get this? And realized she was going to launch a startup in this. And
That's great.
It's a very
fun story.
Cool.
That's a very fun story.
I think
story.
It's debuting in Anchorage's airport in the next month or two. So
it's called Baby Vend.
Baby Vend. It's pretty exciting.
Watch for it.
Okay. So she's been an entrepreneur for, I think, the last 10 or so years. She's launched a few businesses. She's what we might call a serial entrepreneur. She's always coming up with something, and she's been pretty successful too. So she shared this really fairly disheartening story with me about when she was first starting out trying to find trying to find startup capital. She went the traditional route and tried to go to banks, and she felt like they had to do, she had was sort of doing double the work. Someone told her she just didn't look ready, which, you know, to be judged on how you look.
Kind of subjective.
That's pretty frustrating. Uh-huh. And she ended up not receiving any traditional capital to start up her business. And so so that's pretty rough. And so, unfortunately, I felt like that kind of corroborated the data that we were seeing on the national level of the disparity between financing. Even though it was traditional and not venture capital funding, she had had this experience, and then she's persevered because she's full of grit. She just really goes for it. And now she owns a successful business. She's branched out of state, and she has this cool new startup. And so it's interesting to sort of see how that went down. And looking back, I'm sure that banker wishes they could have lent her money.
Right, because I think she used all personal funding?
I'm not entirely sure if it was just from her or if friends and family helped as well, but it was definitely not through bank loans, and I don't think that she had
a VC.
Venture capital.
Yeah.
So she, I mean, she's pretty scrappy and she had to get it going, but you know, that's a great entrepreneurial trait when you make it work.
Yeah, she has something called Business Boutique, right?
Yes.
Here in Anchorage. And I think I read that she has 90 clients and maybe four employees. And I'm imagining she does business support. I'm not sure what
she does. Yeah, she helps people learn how to do QuickBooks, like sort of business basics for other entrepreneurs, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
She helped me when I started Fire Island when I got jammed with QuickBooks. And at that point, she was just solo. But I used her.
How did you find her?
I don't remember.
Networking, talking.
I think I took a short class at UAA that she was teaching, and then I asked her if she did private consulting, and got a little help.
And you're here today, 10 years later, and you're not frightened by QuickBooks.
And we still do all our own bookkeeping. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm frightened by QuickBooks.
I am too.
Just to revisit the statistic that Gretchen identified, and it's been one floating through my head too, but just to add a little further light on that too. So Forbes had an article this year talking about on the venture side, the raise between women and men. And Gretchen referenced that 2%. And so what that means in terms of money, all women teams received $1.9 billion, but that was out of $85 billion
that
was invested.
That's quite a disparity.
It really, that puts in stark contrast.
Mm-hmm. And yet we have so many women entrepreneurs. They're doing it without that support, or they're finding support in other ways.
And I think it's important to delineate then a venture, yes, a company with a venture trajectory versus one that will be providing lots of jobs in the community and right, have a different growth pattern.
Right. And you're probably over my head there. Like, are you talking about scaling up, things like that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That. Okay. Do you want to speak to the difference?
I'll do a little and you can tag in. This is Gretchen again. So venture capitalists look at companies that can scale up. So they're putting their money into a company with the hope that they're going to make multiple returns on what they put in. And so I think it's like 1 in 10 or 1 in 9 companies that venture capitalists invest in actually makes it big. And so it's a gamble. It's definitely sort of this form of like modern day business gambling. It's really interesting. And then your traditional business, maybe more something along the lines of a bakery, is would probably pursue more traditional financing, like from a bank or something. Although I'm not to say that that wouldn't happen. I'm sure some people wish they'd invested in Fire Island back in the day.
Well, thank you. We actually did traditional
investing. I remember you telling me this, Janice. Ooh, like one day at your shop, sort of saying, you sort of grew as you could, sort of?
We still have done everything out of pocket. Uh-huh. And we have... We financed our own home. We put it all on black and spun. So we really didn't. So I don't know a lot about how to get investors or use investors. And we didn't know how to share the decision making. Mm-hmm. So we did very much start small and then keep growing.
One step at a time.
Yeah.
We're going to have to take a little break here. We'll be right back. We're going to get more granular with some of the business owners that we have here in the studio. So you're listening to Hometown Alaska, and I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and we have excited people in the studio today. We're talking about women entrepreneurs, and I always get excited when I think about entrepreneurship. It's like making something out of nothing with an idea and then seeing it happen. And, you know, I've been in Anchorage for 30 years and seen so many businesses start, and I don't know how it's done, but we're going to learn more about it today. The guests of the studio are, we had Gretchen Fausk from Launch Alaska, who just gave us a lot of good background on entrepreneurship in general in Alaska, but also with women. And we also have Piper Foster Wilder, who is the founder of Hertz, 60 Hertz. And we have Janice Fleischman, who's a co-owner and founder of Fire Island Rustic Bakery. So we're going to pivot to these women and talk about some of the challenges that women have. But we're going to start with you, Piper, because we don't get an immediate image of your, I know what a bakery is when I'm looking at Janice and smiling, but I'm not sure what your business is. So help us paint a picture for your average non-techie, non-utility, you know, maintenance kind of people. That's
sure,
us.
Sure. So 60 hertz, H-E-R-T-Z, is the frequency that electricity is distributed at. And we like to think of ourselves as the heartbeat of an electric grid because we are supporting a remote power plant operator, like someone in any of our villages or at a man camp or at a remote lodge or at a cannery, who is in charge of operating the power system to create...
Which is all over the state.
Which is all over the
state.
Little
pockets everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. We have them everywhere. And so these little mini electricity systems that historically Alaskans have known as the good old diesel powerhouse increasingly are called microgrids. And that's the sexy new international term for a little mini electricity system, okay, which has put Alaska in an awesome spotlight internationally because we have over 10% of the world's operating microgrids. And we have an excellent formal professional class that is learning and innovating on these microgrids. And that's how I came to my business. I had begun work at the Renewable Energy Alaska Project, and despite working for a decade or more in the renewable energy sector, had never heard the word microgrid, a mini electricity grid, before. And upon learning more about some of the failure stories, we talked before about how failure is so constructive, there have been a lot of issues in how these mini electricity grids are operated. And I'd begun asking myself if there wasn't a way for software to help catch yellow warning signs before they became red crises. So an example would be, if we know that a community hasn't been looking after its diesel generators for some time, there would be a very generous window to send out a skilled mechanic to make an upgrade or a fix or replace the oil. But this hadn't been happening. And so at the 2016 Startup Weekend, which is a phenomenal international event where on the same weekend all over the world people come together and in, 50 hours incubate an idea, I was invited by Catherine Jarenstrom, who will be on the show later, to come. And I thought, well, I'll just go be supportive and be a warm body in the room. And before I knew it, Lance Ahern, who was my Small Business Development Center coach, was elbowing me to stand up and pitch my idea with others. And I said, well, what if we had an app to support power plant operators? And happily, other people thought that was something that they wanted to work on over the course of this of the startup weekend. And that became the moment at which this creative act of invention that is so innate to all of us to make something. For me, my creativity ended up looking like entrepreneurship and spending this time falling in love with this idea of how could we help people and how could we help the industry and how could I help investors in projects have security that these expensive industrial assets would be maintained and optimized. And we've just completed our own startup weekend in Anchorage, which is now leading into Startup Week, which people may be aware of is happening across the state this week. And so, as Gretchen referenced, we have this thriving ecosystem in the state, which I was able to take advantage of. So as of November 2016, I had this idea. We ended up winning Startup Weekend. That was
Did that
little,
include money or
I think it was some
expertise?
Office space and just some
encouragement.
More than anything, it was encouragement and meeting a team of people that I felt could help me think through this. So I worked really hard nights and weekends and stayed at my job at REAP through that winter and just became so obsessed. This was what I wanted to do more than anything. And participated in other events. Well, around this time, Launch Alaska had just gotten on its feet. And this is our first business accelerator in the state. Why are business accelerators?
60 Hertz is the first. Launch Alaska.
Is the first accelerator. So what an accelerator does is help young companies that have passed through a certain standard to say, well, you look promising, and we're going to help you spin your idea up and improve it and test it and weed it out and make it as best as
run the gamut.
It could be.
Here are the challenges. Here are the maybe where the weaknesses, where the strengths are.
Yeah. A lot of good criticism, a lot of practice communicating the idea. So 60 Hertz was accepted into Launch Alaska, and we went through the July 2017, which ran July through October last year, that cohort. It was the second cohort of companies through Launch Alaska. And at this point, then, our software idea was only half of the business. We have a project finance arm, too. But sticking to the software conversation, so we, by the fall of last year, had gotten enough feedback in the market, learned a lot about what the needs were, had found several partners who would help us think through and develop the product, including the Tanana Chiefs Conference and Alaska Village Electric Cooperative. Certainly experts at Alaska Energy Authority contributed ideas. We just reached out and spoke to everyone we could, asked a lot of questions. What's needed? What would be better? What wouldn't work? Well,
can you give us an example of maybe something you learned that you would have never thought of if you hadn't asked someone from Tanana Chiefs or, I don't know, I know, maybe hard to go back.
Oh, no. There's so many learnings, and that's been a great lesson for me as an entrepreneur, is many of the things I was sure about, I was wrong. So, and that's fun. That's great to discover. I'm just thinking through. We have recently gone through another round of learning from our market in a method called human-centered design. So we brought an anthropologist from Chicago and flew out to a number of tiny communities and little float planes and Yeah, a lot of small plane travel and bad weather. Yes. And one of our operators we knew, he was able to relate that seeing the face of his supervisor, who he'd never met, but talks to on the phone periodically, if her face was a little icon that was part of the app, that would be enormously reassuring to have that standby support so that if he wasn't quite sure what to do and just pushed on her face, that could be a really helpful way to feel in contact. And that to me was just, that was the gold standard, because that meant software was facilitating productive, constructive change.
Now, when by pushing on her face, he didn't call her.
No, it would open a messaging link because we're working with really low telecom capacity here.
But then he would really open up a communication with her.
A chat with Joni.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's an element of our user interface.
Right. And I noted on your website, which you can find, it's called 60Hertz
Energy.
Energy.com. That your partnerships are all across the state. I mean, Ruby, you know, all kinds of places and names of in those communities of people that, I mean, that sort of energy that you get from that, it also feels like it has authenticity and validity because you didn't dream it up in, Anchorage behind a desk. You were out there and they were testing it.
That's right. And that's been a helpful part of learning through why do startups fail. And Gretchen mentioned that really only 1 in 10 of VC-backed firms end up being successful. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But what a leading cause of failure is the entrepreneur believes there's demand in the market and there isn't. And so having tested this with our users and jointly developed it with the users has been critical for us to just keep iterating and shaping. So I think, again, about an operator in Ruby, Alaska, Stuart Cleaver. And Stuart and I have developed a great friendship, and Stuart will text me pictures of diesel engines that I frankly don't know a darn thing about.
I was going to ask you about that. How much of this technology do you really, could you run? You know,
That's
not your role here. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I will say a quick anecdote. 2 days before we started the Launch Alaska cohort, I was at a 4th of July barbecue and a new family had moved to town and she is a diesel engineer.
There you go.
And of which there are 10 in the world. And so females especially. So Laura joined our team and helped as a consultant to get ourselves ready.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I should remind folks of the show and put out our phone numbers in case you have questions. Maybe you're a woman entrepreneur or you just want to comment on this trend that we're talking about. You can call us at 550-8433 or 1-800-353-5752. That's statewide. Or you can always send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So what haven't we done with Piper? Let me see. What questions did I have? I actually have questions for you, Piper. What is 60 Hertz? You did that. How old is 60 Hertz? Just 1 year?
Two
years. Mm-hmm. Where did your funding come from?
So the initial money was a mix of Launch Alaska's investment, which was critical.
Do you have to pay that back?
No, it's an investment.
Okay.
In fact, the form is a convertible note, so it looks like debt. But as soon as our valuation surpassed a certain threshold, then that becomes equity in the company, which it just has.
Okay.
Then also friends and family money. And that this is a common adage for startups is that you have to find your fools, friends, or family, so the people that will quickly part with their money for you. I think that's helpful to talk about.
In some of the reports I read that sometimes people have this dream of I have a wonderful idea, and as soon as I tell a venture capitalist I'm going to have all this angel funding or whatever. I don't know what those terms actually mean. But in fact, the reality is sometimes you have to put it out there first.
Yeah.
You have to risk it first.
Yeah, absolutely. And my house, too, is on the line right now under a different note. So. I think gaining...
Just to reassure you, mine is now
paid off
again.
Out of lean position, yeah.
You have a roof over your head. So it can be done, right?
Yeah. I think that needs to really be discussed as the role of this friends and family money. I think many people are not in a position where they would have friends or family that could part with significant money. And you know, I owe a great deed of respect and gratitude to my parents for putting in a substantial amount of money, and my husband's godmother, who was tremendously generous with
us. Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, just ballpark, what does it take to start a business? I mean, that's a hard figure to arrive at, I guess, because how do you factor everything in? But
well, I don't mind sharing that our initial money was $175,000, and that's gotten us plus $15,000 of prize money that I won, and that's and then the you know owner loan money that my husband and I have moved in and out to meet the demands as we've needed to, but basically $190,000 total. And that's lasted us 2 years.
Okay.
Very frugal years.
Yes.
To start the bakery, originally, we spent probably $360,000, and it was a rental. So that wasn't for purchase of any real estate, just to buy the ovens and get everything going and have enough money to, you know, stay open as we developed a clientele.
Yeah. And we talked earlier that you have 70 employees at Fire Island Rustic Bake Shop. At 60 Hertz, you have four or five. I can't remember.
Well, our decision, our business decision in July of last year was to hire five people for three-month jobs and make a sprint for it and say, we need to look more investable by the end of this business accelerator. So you know you're only going to work here this long, and let's all try really hard. And so we were able to extend that to four-month, five-month jobs for most, and several have stayed on working for equity. And then it's been mostly 1099 labor, so contract labor, to help in the time since, and with me working full-time.
Okay. Let's see, I'm wondering, you and I talked before the show a little bit about what compelled you so much about this. And I guess from your background, it's not clear that energy systems, I mean, you work for REAP and alternative energy, but there's a workforce element here that's so powerful for you. Is there some way for you to describe why that's a pull for you?
Sure. So the climate change and renewable energy, battling climate change and renewable energy are passion makers for me. And the 60 Hertz initial concept was a renewable finance mechanism to serve as a matchmaker between investors seeking the tax credits that renewable energy create and village scale projects. And we needed the software platform on the way to that goal. Since time, we've divided those into two companies, and the project finance now lives in a separate company. But what I've discovered is that human dignity is perhaps more important to me than climate change even is. And what I mean by that, shortly after this startup weekend when 60 Hertz started, I had the benefit of learning about adverse childhood experiences. And Kathleen, that's how you and I first met, was right. Several years ago on this radio show. So adverse childhood experiences, as many listeners know, is really an important discovery about human thriving. And the statistics reveal that when someone has had a dosage of four or more of these 10 known adverse childhood experiences, that their ability to hold down a job or earn more than $20,000 a year, just even function in their life, is greatly diminished. Upon hearing those statistics, I realized that the failure stories from many of our village operators had to be stemming from this issue of ACEs and not what was being passed around as probably the prevailing reason, that this has to do with a trauma response. So what's been meaningful for me to discover in working with heroes in our state like Matt Hirschfeld and Josh Arvidson that are passionate about how we help address and how we help address ACEs and how we help people recover has led me to adopt a method that is I would say relatively subtle within 60 Hertz software approach, but very, very meaningful, related to a trauma-informed software system in the maintenance realm. Hmm. And the framework that is called ARC, Attachment, Self-Regulation, and Competence, elements of that, in fact, play beautifully into the discipline of maintenance. And so we are weaving elements of that very subtly and delicately into our solution.
That's so interesting. We need to take another break, but Janice, I want to ask you, do you have any reaction to that? It's so interesting. You work with a lot of young people and, you know, maybe not thinking about ACEs or anything like that, but you...
Oh, no, we do think about that.
Okay.
We are as much a baking school as we are a bakery. We feel that what we wanted to contribute to the Anchorage community was far beyond croissants. We've hired from the prison. We've hired young men that have clear mental disabilities. We've hired our night cleaner is profoundly deaf, and we have people who are English as second language. And we've had to teach staff how to train people that are coming from wildly different backgrounds. And a lot of that has been some of the very most meaningful part of owning the bakery is being able to provide for all kinds of different people that are in our community and make it a place that people can have a good job and afford to buy a home and have a career. So I think that what you're doing is amazing.
Yeah. So. And I mean... I don't know. When I was looking at your website, I was like, there's something really different about this website. The expansiveness of inclusion from all these remote areas around the state that were part of you know, partnering and testing and informing you, that just says a lot, you know. So anyway, we have to take a break. So we'll be right back. This is Hometown Alaska, you're listening to me, Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and we've been talking about women entrepreneurship, and we've been talking with women entrepreneurs, and I'm going to read one email that we got, and then I'm going to go to a caller. I do want to let our listeners know that we do have Heather Kelly hanging on the phone and Laura Oden hanging on the phone because these are two other women entrepreneurs we wanted to get an update from. So we are going to get to them, but let me just say, we heard from a fellow named Tyler who says, this is an interesting topic. Thank you. I am not an entrepreneur nor a woman, but think this is a great topic. I'm writing because Janice and Piper are friends. Oh, okay. That I think are amazing women. Janice is one of the best teachers I've ever had, and I have had many. And Piper is a friend from college. Both awesome ladies. Please say hello from Tyler.
Tyler, yeah.
Oh, and he says, no need to mention. But I'm sorry, Tyler, we mentioned it. So,
thank you.
And also, we would like to get to this caller. We have Anders calling from Anchorage. Hi, Anders.
Hi. I'm just calling. Thank you for the show. It is I agree with Tyler. It's a very interesting topic.
He's
and
not alone.
I too, am not a woman, but have been an entrepreneur in the past. On a much smaller level, we've got... I am lucky enough to serve on a board for Anchorage Remade, which is a small, you know, kind of an entrepreneurial startup in itself. Patty Burris is a wonderful entrepreneur in her own right that has started up a nonprofit in South Anchorage. And the focus of that has been to encourage entrepreneurship. And I kind of think of it as an Etsy meets, you know, it's kind of a brick and mortar Etsy. And so they have a lot of artists and, you know, micro entrepreneurs that have an idea for a product. We have a commercial kitchen that, you know, if someone has an idea for a bakery but doesn't have the $300,000 plus to invest into a bakery to do that, but they want to say, you know, are my scones marketable, that they can use the facilities there and work with support and other people to try out a little ideas because that failure rate is so high and it's difficult to do for people. And so it's a space that people can do. People
try
can
out ideas.
People can have. So
yeah, I just want to ask, Gretchen, had you heard of Board of Anchorage Remade. Have you heard of that?
You know, I didn't know they had a board, but I'm definitely familiar with Anchorage Remade. It's,
okay.
It's very cool.
So, but yeah. You would call it part of our ecosystem here then?
Yeah. I mean, I think anyone who is a startup or a small company and anyone who's supporting other entrepreneurs, absolutely, they're part of our ecosystem. Yeah. One of the things that struck me as we were listening to Piper and Janice and even thinking about Anchorage Remade as well is, you know, often by the time you like hit the media, when you're on the great radio show or like you get a feature story on the Anchorage Daily News, you know, people are like, oh, overnight success. People work so hard to get to where these ladies are and they're still working so hard. Mm-hmm. And so
there is no such thing as an overnight success.
No, there isn't. Yeah. It takes so much work to get there. 20-year overnight success.
Yeah. Well, Anders, I'm going to say thank you so much for calling and participating in the conversation. I'm going to pivot over to one of our guests that we've had holding. We have Heather Kelly on. Hi, Heather.
Hey, how are you?
Thank you for patiently waiting through several minutes here. You're with Heather's Choice, and I know we had you on the show early on in your career, and I remember at that point you have Heather's Choice, which is, I think, gluten-free and lightweight backpacking food, right?
Yep, that's it.
That's so at that point, I remember we were on maybe with a coach, an entrepreneur coach, who was saying to you, you can't do it all. You have to develop a team. And you were just at that point where you were realizing you couldn't do it all. But so catch us up now, 2 years later. What's up with Heather's Choice?
Sure. So that coach that I was on the show with, Lance Ahern, he continues to be just a wonderful mentor for me. And I usually turn to Lance when things get really bad. So he has been really great to have. Since then, Heather's Choice has continued to grow, and now I have a pretty large team. So it went from being just my very expensive hobby, I like to call it, to being a company of about 11 people with a 6-person board and countless mentors. So it's a lot more fun now having more than just me, myself, and I.
And let me see. I think I read in a report that Gretchen is going to be releasing here on Wednesday that you have raised the most capital this year, maybe close to $1 million, and that you are talking to REI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we closed our most recent equity round, which was $600,000 in June. And so to date, all of our investors, except for one private investor, has been in Alaska. So we've successfully raised quite a bit of money in Alaska. And now we are gunning to have product placement in REI in the spring. And I think that's going to be another big turning point for us. Because as an example, if REI says, yes, we'll take 50,000 units of everything you can make. But, you know, for every door across the country, our dehydrators aren't big enough for that. So it's going to be more fundraising to just get the infrastructure in place to be able to fill a great big order like that.
So new opportunity brings a new challenge, I guess.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Is there anything, you know, we just have you for a couple minutes and then we're going to try to get Laura Oden on, who's also hanging. But, you know, what have you learned? You're three years in, right?
4 years.
Four years in. You know what? And this is kind of hard to talk about because we talked about people not being able to own their own strengths. What have you brought to this? What do you think is the thing that you've brought that's been so powerful? Is it the recipes? Is it the grit? Is it the ability to get people to give you money? What is it that you're bringing to Heather's Choice?
I do think that the bigger picture and the vision is really what brings people into the company and kind of holds them there. So as an example, we have brought in quite a few people into our company who have maybe been excited about working in a startup and it's really sexy and it sounds really fun, but then you very quickly realize it is a job, it is work, you have to do it every day if it's going to be successful. So what keeps people really enrolled in working for Heather's Choice or investing in Heather's Choice really is the bigger philanthropic picture. You know, just listening to Piper talk earlier, like, I'm sure her and I both know that it's really tugging on things of what gets them involved and keeps them around. So no matter what your business vision is, I do think it has to be much, much larger than just making money. Otherwise, when times get hard, it's real easy to quit. You can go make money somewhere else. but mm-hmm. your bigger vision will keep you going.
Mm-hmm. And is, for you, is that keeping employing young people in the state? What is that extra vision beyond making a living for you?
The big vision for me has always been about food and food quality and food sustainability. So this year we were able to source wild-caught Alaskan sockeye for our salmon chowder, which continues to be our best-selling meal. We also started buying Delta-raised bison for our dark chocolate chili. So it's pretty fun to be putting money back into the local economy by sourcing ingredients here. And next up, we're going to have the opportunity to source Alaskan-raised yak meat for some of our meals. And so
wow.
that bigger picture of participating in the Alaska food system is really, really fun.
I can hear that. That's great. I'm gonna say goodbye, but I'm gonna ask you if you had one lesson to share with an entrepreneur coming up behind you, a woman entrepreneur, ideally, what would you say to them? Don't give up.
Just give it time. Be patient. Be very, very patient. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Learn how to live frugally while you're patient. Right? All right. Well, thank you so much, Heather. I'm so happy to hear from you and happy to hear about your success. And thank you so much for taking the time to call us and update us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Take care. And I think we have Laura Oden on. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
let's see.
I've been listening to this show, and it's just wonderful.
It's been fun. We've got wonderful guests, and they have so much information and life experience that it's just really fun to get to share it with listeners. So update us on Pandair Shoes. I know that you have started shipping your product and that you have, well, you go ahead and update us. There is some news. You were on our show a while ago, but since then things have changed. So go ahead and update us.
Oh, yeah. Well, since we were on your show last, an awful lot of things have happened. We really actually launched last week, because last week was when we got product into the United States, and we sent it out to all of our crowdfunding orders. So all of our pre-sales got shoes. And we had a little soft launch with our website, but orders started coming in last week as well. So that's been a big step forward.
and will you tell me what I saw that you won something, which was had to do with women entrepreneurs supporting women. I'm looking through my notes here. Ready, so, set, raise. Ready, set, raise. What was that?
Yeah, we didn't win anything. We got accepted into an accelerator program, which was really specifically about fundraising. And Piper mentioned accelerator programs before. She was in one. This is a one that was in Seattle, and it was designed to help women own businesses raise money. So that was a really amazing program. That's put on by the Female Founders Alliance. And it was a kind of a 1 month or 5 week program. And the last week was in Seattle, and we pitched to a bunch of investors, and shortly after that, we raised $500,000.
So you learned something in this workshop or this accelerator. Did you change
wow.
the way you were?
Yes.
What did you change?
We learned a lot. From the point that we did our crowdfunding in the spring, we spent basically the entire summer trying to figure out how to shift from to onboarding investment. And that was a really difficult shift. We had to learn.
What's onboarding investment? What do you mean? Just getting investors on board? What does that mean?
Right. We took on investors in this fall round. So that's what I meant.
Okay. but you had to pivot to do that? What did you have to change, or was
it? I mean, you know, we had to do a lot of, we had to understand the mechanics of how you bring investment in. And that was a really steep learning curve for us. I think that the entrepreneurship community in Alaska is so supportive. And I completely reflect all the same things that have already been said on the show about what a supportive environment it is up here. However, we didn't have a whole lot of examples for how to bring on investment. We had some of the rudimentary elements of it. We had the basic understanding. But we needed to do a much deeper dive in terms of, like, what were we going to offer and what were we going to ask? And those are really hard questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we got there in the end. And
so a half a million dollars, now you have investors to the tune of a half a million dollars?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes. So let's see.
Thank you.
I do believe that you wrote me a note that you may be in your first retail outlet back east.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
We're in one shoe store in Harvard Square in Cambridge. This is sort of a test. We're mostly an e-commerce business where orders are all online, but we wanted to be in one retail store, probably a few retail stores, so that we can reach people in other ways and get more direct feedback. So for us, a big part of the game right now is learning how well we've done with our product. Even in just a week, we're learning a lot about fit and what people's responses are. It's been a very positive response.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
people had to return for to get a different size. That's one thing that we learn by launching.
Oh, okay. Okay. And I don't know that I did a good job of describing your business. You have expandable shoes for people who have foot or health issues. And so I believe you've been working on this. Why don't you give me an idea of 5 years, maybe longer?
We're almost 3 years old. We also started at a startup weekend, just like Piper. So that was in 2016. We all met at a startup weekend, and then we formed our company in August of 2016. And so, yeah, we're almost 3 years old.
Almost 3 years old. I feel like I've been talking to you about this idea longer than that, but the company itself is 3 years old. How many people do you employ?
We don't have any employees yet.
Just your founders?
Just the founders.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. And we're going to wrap up here, but I just want, Laura, what bit of advice would you give to women entrepreneurs coming behind you? Heather's was, don't give up. Be patient.
I think the thing that I would suggest to women, really think, try to push yourself to think bigger. Think of more scalable ideas. I think lots of ideas are floating around. And frankly, ideas are not that hard to come up with. So there's a lot of ideas. But when you think about an idea that you want to put into action, try to think bigger and try to think scalability. Because that a lot of times the scalability is there. Mm-hmm. But I think women tend not to go in that direction early on, and it's better to start thinking big sooner. That's my feeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm thinking about Janice telling us that they did everything out of pocket. You know, now she has three businesses, three locations of her business in a downturn in the Alaska economy. So it's just there's different ways of doing this. There's many different ways of doing this. So, all right. Well, Laura, thank you. I'm gonna sign off because we just have a little bit of time here, and I just want to come back to our guests in the studio. And I don't know if anybody has any parting words. Gretchen Wisdom, you want to leave us? Oh, there's our music. That's our wisdom.
Thanks so much for having
thank
me.
You.
Thank you so much. Very much. I'd like to thank Gretchen Fausk of Launch Alaska, Janice Fleischman of Fire Island Rustic Bake Shop, Piper Foster Wilder from 60 Hertz Microgrids, and on the phone we had Laura Oden of Pandair Shoes and Heather Kelly of Heather's Choice. And of course, thanks to our listeners and email, and just thanks for this is a great topic, and I'm so glad we got to share it with listeners today. I'll be back as your host next Monday when we feature our monthly edition of Justice Alaska. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Dave Waldron is our audio engineer. I'm Kathleen McCoy. Thanks so much for joining us today on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.